We've been going through a series now for some weeks through this little letter called 1 Peter. And it's a very interesting little letter because in it, the apostle, what apostle, by the way, wrote this letter, everybody? Okay, like five, Peter, the rest of you go, I don't know. Okay, Peter wrote this. The apostle Peter wrote this letter to a group of people who lived in an area called Asia Minor. New churches were popping up all the time, but the persecution they faced was real, it was local, and it was consistent. And so Peter speaks to them and says, let me tell you why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. It is because you are in exile. This is not your home. Family, may we never forget that while we have a home, this place is not our home. And so he says, let me tell you what it looks like to live well in light of the home that you have. And he deals with so many things. And if you've missed some of the weeks, I'd invite you to go online and listen to the podcast. But this morning, I want to do something just a little different. I want you to talk to each other. Now, this is literally 5 seconds, okay? We'll count down. Not a long conversation. But what I want you to do is I want you to share with someone nearby one of the sources that you go to when you need answers, all right? Now, you may be thinking, and maybe you need to think for a moment about that. Maybe you're going to think about a news outlet, or maybe you're going to, whatever it's going to be. What is one of the sources that you go to for information when you need answers? Go ahead and turn to someone, share. Okay, one of the sources. Okay, now, there are lots of sources of information. I'm going to put some up here. Some of you, if you're young, you may think, hey, look, my number one source of information, hands down, is this. The lucky eight ball. Will I grow? Looks unlikely. Yeah, right? Others, maybe, and I hope not in here, but other people, they don't go to this, they go to another source for information. When they want answers, they go to this thing called a horoscope. Well, I'm a Leo, and so my life is, look, if you ever just want to giggle, go ahead and read the horoscopes in the newspaper and see which one of its sayings does not apply to you. But some people go here. We might expand it a little bit, maybe not just horoscope, but people go to other spiritual sources, we could say. And then there are others who they don't go to maybe a little kid's toy or to spiritual advisors or things. Maybe instead they go to social media. Because after all, where else are you going to find the truths of life other than for in your Facebook feed or your Twitter posts? I mean, honestly, how smart can people or comments be if you only have 140 characters or less to communicate? But this is where a lot of people go. I mean, just think about it. Any issue, doesn't matter what it is, go online and you will find all sorts of opinions and answers to any topic. And everyone is an expert in their own mind. And they're happy to share with you their mind. Oh, we could expand this a little further. Maybe you go online, and instead of social media, maybe you instead go to this wonderful thing called Wikipedia. How many of you go to Wikipedia at least once a week? Would you just raise your hands high and proud? Now, interesting study. They did sort of a random search on Wikipedia, fact-checked some things, and compared it to the, I believe I'm telling you correctly, the Encyclopedia Britannica, and they found that Wikipedia was actually more accurate in its facts. So, you know, not to dog it, but so some people go online. Other people, you're going to go to news sources. Maybe you're going to go to the newspaper. If you're a little more old school, maybe you'll pull it up on a device, or you'll watch it on TV, or maybe on the computer, but we go to news sources. And again, right now, you go online, or you go on TV, or you pull up the newspaper, and there will be op-eds for everything you have a question about. There are a lot of places where we go to get our answers. But I want to show you what Peter says, a source of information not only should be, but is. Are you ready for this one? Because it may surprise you. Peter says, one of the go-to places, for information, and one particular kind of information that we'll look at in the morning is not a magic eight ball. It's not social media. It's not the astrologers or astronomers. It's not the spiritualists. It's not the news outlets or online media. It is you and me. In fact, we're going to just look at one little verse this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Because the Apostle Peter is going to give us words that are vital for us to hear. The reality is people that you know are looking for answers to some of life's biggest questions. Will I ever find true love? How do I go up in the career ladder that I'm pursuing? How do I make it past this particular hurdle or difficulty? What do I do to reunite this old relationship that has been fractured because of what this person said, or what I did not do, or how this occurred? How will I make it another week knowing what I know about this particular health situation? How will I make it to the end of the month when I don't have a job? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking through some of those very things yourself. And so Peter's going to say something that you need to hear and I need to hear in a world that is drowning in answers but is dying of starvation for one good answer. And so he says these words in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." Now notice this, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." But notice this, family. Do this with gentleness. And what's that last word?
Respect.
And respect. This morning, I'm not planning on giving you a pep talk. I hope you're encouraged, because the Word of God, when we understand it rightly, it both shows us really how bad we are, but how much greater God is. Amen? So there is plenty to be encouraged by, but I'm not here to give you a pep talk. Rather, I want us to look at a prep talk. We must be prepared to listen to the questions and give credible answers to a world that is desperately searching for hope. And Peter understands something maybe more about you than you understand about you, that when Christ is in you, all of a sudden you have hope, and you can also have an answer to give others for why you have that hope. Now, I was thinking about it this week. The truth is, a lot of times we go to places for answers and they fail miserably. Quick question, how many of you have an iPhone? Would you just raise your hand? Okay. Now, one of these iPhones, a few years ago, they came out with their own maps system. Do you guys remember the Apple Maps app? Any of you use Apple Maps? Like two, three of you? Okay, fantastic. I was really excited when it came out because I was thinking, okay, Google Maps doesn't work on the iPhone. That was like for the 3 weeks that they didn't like let it be on iPhone. Some of you are going, what's an iPhone? Okay, for the rest of you though, so I used Apple Maps and I was so excited about it. And so I'm punching in this thing, and I had, no lie, I had a wedding that I was to perform. It was cross town in a place I was not familiar with, so I punched it up. It said 22 minutes until arrival. And by the way, the voice even was happier. I like the voice of Apple Maps. It made me feel good. Turn right here. Oh, thank you. You're welcome, Josh. And so we kept going, and the voices in my head and on the phone were telling me which way to go until finally it said, go 1/4 mile. And your destination will be on the left. And I was like, okay, great. I go 1/4 mile, and to my left is a giant, empty field. Now, it had all sorts of answers to where I needed to go. The problem was the answers were not credible. I've not used Apple Maps since. Now, they've updated it. They fixed a lot of things. But here's my point. You will go someplace for answers, but only so long as the answers given answer and work within the reality that you live. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about the answers we give. Because here's the point. If you want to write this down, here's the big idea, and everything else we say will come off this. Here's the idea. Your life can answer life's questions. Your life can answer life's questions. There are questions that people ask, and your life, if submitted to the authority and rule of Jesus Christ, if lived out well. And listen, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to understand that your life also can help answer the answer questions that other people have. But there is one question that we're going to look at this morning that we believe as Christ followers, ultimately it is only in Christ that there is an answer. You don't have to believe it, but I just want you to sort of dial in. And really, this is a home message, meaning this is for those of you who call yourself Christ followers. Everyone else, you don't have to do anything I say this morning. You don't even have to listen if you don't want to. Some of you are going, I don't ever anyways, Josh. That's okay. But for those of you who are Christians, what we're going to talk about this morning is for you and it's for me. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want, instead of saying, here's how to give a good answer, I want to give you what I think are maybe the top seven ways to give a really bad answer to someone, okay? Are you ready for this? No one is ready for this. Awesome. So here's the first one. If you're taking notes, if you want to give a really bad answer, first thing you can do is talk about the Bible, but just don't study the Bible. If you want to give bad answers to life's questions, talk a lot about the Bible, but don't study it. Have you ever listened to people who think they know a lot about the Bible, but when they start to speak, you go, you don't know a thing about the Bible? What about maybe some of these phrases? You'll hear people who say, well, you know, like the Bible says, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. That's not in the Bible. Other people will say things like, well, you know, cleanliness is next to. That's not in the Bible. Other people will say things like, well, God helps those who. Benjamin Franklin said that. God didn't. There are other people out there, because they don't know the Bible, they think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. They think that the four Gospels were Matthew, Mark, George, and Ringo. See, if you want to give bad answers, quote a source that you don't know anything about. And sometimes what will happen is, because you don't know the source, you will try to quote something, but you will either take it out of context or you will change it just enough that it no longer means what it meant. Like this one that I've heard a lot, especially in recent weeks. Well, you know what the Bible says. In fact, Jesus said, don't judge. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, be careful as you judge, because these are the words. You will be judged in the same manner that you judge other people. But he did not say to live a judge-free life. You don't do that anyway. Or what about this one? Some people will look at this and say, well, the Bible says God will never put more on you than you can handle. Friend, that's not in the Bible. It says that you will not, that when you are tempted, he will give you a way out of the temptation. But notice that it is not in your ability that you overcome things. It's through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to give people bad answers, you just go ahead and talk a lot about the Bible, but never study it. This is why Peter says these words. But in your hearts, in the deepest place where you are you, the place where your essence belongs, in your heart, you know this, you trust this, you go to it as the source not only of knowledge, but of life. This is why the psalmist said in 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to give a bad answer, just go ahead, talk a lot about the Bible, but don't study it. Now, here's a second one. If you want to give a bad answer, live like everyone else. Live your life like everyone else. There's a preacher here in Nashville over at Brentwood Baptist Church named Mike Glenn, wonderful man of God, and he has often said this phrase that has meant so much to me. He said, look, church, the reason the world is mad at you, it's not because the world is not mad at you because you are so different. The world is mad at you and mad at us because we are not different enough. Listen, if you look and you see everyone going one direction and it's the wrong direction, then if you look like everyone else, why would anyone come to you for the answers to life? I mean, no one's ever said, hey, Josh, you look so much like everyone else. Tell me your secrets. It's in the differences that we have something to talk about, family. When the church looks no different in purity, when statistically the same number of men in the church as well as outside the church look at things on their computer that they ought not, we have no credibility. When Christians are not the first ones into their job and the last ones to leave, then we have no credibility. When Christians are the ones who fight and bicker and barely hang on to their marriages through the years, then we have no credibility in the matter. It is when we look different that the world says, we got to know what's different about you. And this is why he makes this statement. He says, not only in your heart, just generally, but in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. This idea of revering is to elevate, to put him above all, that he would be the centerpiece. And what he says, we do. How he lives, we live. But if you want to give a bad answer, live your life like everyone else. Number three, if you want to give a bad answer, answer questions that no one's asking. Have you ever noticed the way that the church does this sometimes? Think about some of the arguments we've had over the past century. Here's my favorite one, and I don't think we've ever had it here at Antioch. Or if we have, it's been a long time. Are you ready? Here it is. And some of you, if you know this argument, you go ahead and just finish it with me. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Any of you not hear that argument before? There was this argument in the church just saying how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. And you go, who cares? And the world says, of so many of our arguments and discussions, who cares? Be like a student in a class who raises her hand and says to the teacher, what is an isosceles triangle? And the teacher looks at her and very earnestly says, oh, that's a great question. Well, as you know, 2 + 2 = 4. She looks at him and goes, well, okay, great, that's a fine answer. That doesn't answer my question. What is an isosceles triangle? And he goes, that is a wonderful question. You know, the capital of Tennessee is Nashville. And she says, that's a fine answer, but it doesn't answer my question. Here's the thing, family. Before we have the right to speak, we need to do a lot more listening to the questions that are being asked. Because it's when people know that we're hearing them and when we begin to address the questions that they are asking, all of a sudden things begin to change. In fact, notice what Peter says. He says, after revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer, what? To everyone who asks. Now hang on. The question is what determines the answer. For a question or an answer to be good, it's not only true, but it is timely. It is spoken when the question is asked. This is one of the reasons that we will not be afraid to address the issues of our culture in this church. This is why we will deal with things such as marriage and money, sex and stuff, gender and generosity. We will deal with all the issues as best we know how, humbly, and as we grow and learn, we'll deal with it better, but the fact remains, we will not avoid questions that people have. Because family, think about it. You have questions? What if you came here and you knew that you could ask questions and someone would actually give you the answers to the questions that you have? And then what if people knew that when they got around you, even though they may not like your answers, they could ask you questions and you would do your best to answer them? What would that look like? So if you want to give a really bad answer, just go ahead and answer questions that no one else is asking. Here's the fourth one. I love this one. Hey, if you want to give a bad answer, just live a life characterized by worry. This is sort of similar to living like everyone else. Because the reality is, way too many of us are tied in knots every election cycle. Way too many of us freak out when money gets tight. Way too many of us never see beyond the now to what is awaiting us. And when the world looks at us and says, you're no different than us, you worry so much, then we have nothing to offer. Rather, the Apostle Peter says this. He says, you want to give an answer about the hope you have. That when people come to you, they're not even asking you necessarily about stock tips. They're not asking you how best to get the most mileage out of your vehicle. Maybe those are things they ask, but what they come to you, what is characterizing your life is hope. That when they look at you, they say something is different about you. You do not seem so worried like the rest of us. And you know why? It's because this Peter, the one who writes these words, if you kind of rewind the tape just a few years earlier, Peter was this man who followed Jesus. And if you read just a cursory glance of the four Gospels, you realize that Peter was all over the map, wasn't he? One day he says, Jesus, I'll never deny you. Next moment, he's denying him. One moment, he's professing Jesus as Lord. Next moment, he is saying, no, Jesus, you will not suffer and die. And you see Peter, who's all over the road and all over the map, but now, years later, he somehow has with this sense of things so different, and he says, there's a hope that you have. And people, when they see you, they're going to ask you about your hope. And you say, Peter, what changed for you? And what changed for Peter was that the hope that he had came because he saw a risen Savior. And the same risen Savior that Peter saw, you and I can know. And so when you and I live, we live not as people without hope, but a great sense of hope because our Savior lives. And we have a place with Him. Let me give you just a couple more here. If you want to give a really bad answer, number 5, win the argument, but not the person. Have you ever known someone who is more interested in being right than having a relationship with someone? Those kind of people don't keep friends very well. Now, some of you are going, wait, Joshua, are you suggesting that we don't tell the truth or that we avoid the truth? Not at all. No, not at all. Rather, you tell the truth, but notice what Peter says. He says, you do it with gentleness. It's not that you avoid the truth. It's not that you do not answer the questions that are posed to you. Rather, you say, I want so desperately to tell you why this is good news. Because good news communicated badly makes it bad news. Or news that people just won't listen to. And number 6, move quickly here. Number 6, if you want people to not listen to you, if you want to give really bad answers, use confusing words. Have you ever been to a country that did not speak English? Anyone here? Come to find out. Let me just share with you a couple of the words that I do know when I went to Mexico. Are you ready? Taco. Burrito. Fun fact for my gringo friends. You know what a burrito means? What burrito means? A burro is a donkey. A burrito is a little donkey. Think about that next time you order at Taco Bell. Taco, burrito, el baño. That's an important one. Agua, water. But frankly, those are not enough words to carry on any sort of communication or conversation, is it? Yeah, think about it. Whenever we send missionaries to a new field, they spend much of their time not only learning the culture, but learning the language of the culture. Because if you cannot use words people understand, then your message will not be communicated. So actually, I was thinking about it this week. What are some of the churchy phrases that we say? And Thomas Becker and Kevin Ray decided to help us do a little video of some of the churchy phrases that you may hear. So we're just going to turn our attention. I want you to kind of be familiarized to words that people may not know very well in the church. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's come up here. Here we go.
Greetings, brother. Today is the day that the Lord has made. How are you?
Blessed. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm great because I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb.
Sanctified?
And highly favored.
I'll amen to that.
Testify.
Yes. Yeah. So, Kevin, what are you doing this week?
Going on a mission trip to share my testimony.
I'll be praying for a hedge of protection as you travel.
Bless you, brother. I covet your prayers.
Is there anything else you'd like me to lift up to the Heavenly Father?
Well, I do have a friend who needs to be in the Word a little bit more.
Bless his heart.
Well, God's really been working on his heart. I just think he really needs some good Christian fellowship.
Well, it looks like God's put you in his path to show him the light.
You're right. I just think I need you to hold me accountable for that.
Just guard your heart. Stay pure.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Well, go with God. And may He guide, guard, and direct you.
You too. And I'll see you at the appointed hour.
All right. Are any of those familiar to any of you? My favorite one, though, is bless his heart. Right? Because that can be any sort of code. It's like, I want to say something really mean or degrading, but to do that, I need to first say, bless their hearts, right? But you think about the words that we use. This doesn't mean that you don't speak the truth. It doesn't mean that you avoid what the scriptures say. You simply listen to what people are asking and you say, I want you to know the hope so desperately that I will say it in a way that you can hear it. This is what the Apostle Peter says with that next word. He says, with gentleness, and then the word respect. It's this idea, you don't just respect someone intellectually. You respect them by showing that you will come to them where they are emotionally, where they are spiritually, where they are physically, and in every way you come to them and communicate to them in a way that they say, I see the hope. I understand it. This is why right now in, wow, we have our 2-year-olds to 2nd graders worshiping on their own. You say, well, why do we not have them in here? It's because I am boring. And they don't understand a lot of the stuff we say here. And so we have our family members who are down there teaching them in ways that they will understand so that they will know the truth and the hope so that they will grow up fully mature in the love and knowledge of God. That's a use words that people understand. But here's the other one, and I got to be real honest. This is the one that I'm a little more concerned with for the church today. There's a lot of ways that we can give bad answers, but I think number 7 may be one of the worst. Are you ready? Here it is. You can use confusing words or never use words. Listen, I know there's only so much that a guy up front can say without really being offensive, but I'm going to lay my cards on the table right here. And I know some of you, you're not going to like hearing this. I'm okay with that. Friend, if you only ever assume your life will show Jesus and you never open your mouth about Him, I am concerned for you. Jesus said that if you will confess me before men, not if you will just live a nice life and let everyone guess what you believe, if you'll just do nice things and let them interpret it any way they want, if you just kind of show up and serve or do this or that, but never say a word, He says, it's if you will confess me before men, the promise is I, or Jesus says, He will confess you before the Father. Say, I know Him. Here's the fearful thing. If you aren't speaking up for Jesus, do you really think He's going to speak up for you? Family, this is a big deal. And I'm not trying to be so heavy, but I need you to understand that there is a world you've been placed in. Jesus says that we are salt and we are light. Salt is a preservative. This is a rotting world. We are here to preserve it. We are light. This is a dark world. We are here to illuminate it. And when God's people choose to remain silent, then the darkness overcomes. But it's when God's people say, you know, I know you've got answers. I'll use words you understand, and I will speak words.